Chris, thanks very much for joining us today. Let's start at the obvious place. Tell us a little bit about the film.
Okay. You know, it's a movie about a tragically fragile young woman and a guy who is drawn to her and you know, sort of draws her out. And in the course of it, she sort of fixes the problem with her life.
What formats did you shoot, or what format did you shoot to do the project?
They shot it on HD, 24p.
Now, was there, obviously this is a lower budget film, as most of these films are at the festival. What sort of considerations did they make when choosing a format?
You know, I'm really not sure. I mean, they had a DP already lined up, and I think they just wanted to shoot on something that they wouldn't have to be transferring around a lot. They would shoot on HD and, you know, sort of deliver that, as opposed to shooting on film and then going into a telecine and then a DI and then back out to film. So I think they just wanted to stick with HD and save their costs, you know.
Now, how did you become attached to the project? Were you there from the very beginning, or did you just get involved along the way?
I was there from the beginning of the shoot, and I was just looking for a project, and somebody gave me the producer's name, and I contacted them, and they sent me the script, and that was, you know, I liked it, and they asked me to come on board.
Okay, so let's take that second part of the earlier question, the actual making of the film. What was the sort of production workflow like, and what was your editorial setup?
Well, it was actually very interesting because I came from a traditional media composer, film composer background, and they wanted to try and do this on Avid Express Pro on a laptop. So what they did was they took the HD tapes, we got a Sony JH3 deck, and digitized straight off the dailies, straight off the, you know, production HD, into the computer. And what we set up was I took my G4 laptop and maxed it out on RAM, loaded in Avid Express Pro. We borrowed a Mojo box, and we bought a second monitor. I plugged in a bookshelf stereo system, and we bought a terabyte of storage. And, you know, I was really impressed that it did everything I wanted it to. And, you know, I edited the movie. It looked great. It sounded great. It was in a very familiar environment. And whenever I had new versions, I just output quick times to the producers and the director. I put the Avid codecs on their computers so that I could do quick times. And, you know, we cut it that way, and it worked really, really well.
You know, you use the word borrow, which is emblematic of lower budget productions. With that low budget looming over you, how did you decide where you could cut corners or costs without hurting the story itself?
Well, I mean, we knew that we needed the Mojo to plug in the JH3. And after that, I mean, we were pretty much standalone. In fact, I could have probably used the Mojo to run a third monitor, rather, as a playback monitor. But we just, you know, once we had what we needed, we didn't really go looking for anything else. And we just kind of cut the movie that way.
So the JH3, I know that's sort of that's a play only, that's an ingest deck. So you probably weren't handing off tapes, you know, during the production or during the editorial process.
Right.
What was the dailies process? What was the review and approval process?
Well, what I did was I took, I just output QuickTimes, and by using the Avid, by loading the Avid codecs into the QuickTime folder on the director's computer and on the producer's computer, I was able to basically make very quick times and just, you know, transfer them over to the different parties, and they could then watch them on their computers and give notes.
Now, is this a different way of working than you've ever done before, or is this groundbreaking for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, in the past, what I would do is I would output DVDs Before that, I would output VHS. And the beauty of that was once the dailies were in the Avid, I had to give back the mojo, actually. And I didn't need decks or any of that equipment. I mean, I didn't have to rent any other hardware or anything like that. And everything else was pretty much bought and paid for. And the QuickTimes looked great, and they were, you know, they were perfectly happy to view them as QuickTimes and, you know, determine what their notes were on those.
I think any filmmaker listening to this is going to be thinking, okay, so I've got my vision that I'm trying to achieve. I've got no money. What sort of advice or guidance would you give them on just, you know, how to get it done?
Well, you know, like I said, once we got the system going, we didn't really need to add anything else. I mean, it was my laptop, and we bought the Avid Express, and we were done. I mean, we didn't really have any other costs. Once we were cutting, we were able to just keep on going, and you know, there was no monthly rental or anything like that. You know, as long as you're fine with QuickTimes and you have a computer and you, you know, load in the Avid codecs, you can output reels in, you know, almost real time. You know, it just, I don't really know what advice I had. It was just really streamlined. You know, once we got the Avid Express paid for, which was very economical, we were done, and we could have posted for forever. You know, the costs were none; they were done.
Yeah, and in your case, it seems like you had to rely on tape just for the ingest process. After that, it was really all about being file based, and that really opens you up to collaboration over great distances. I mean, you could send those QuickTimes back and forth all over the place. Was there an element of that to this, where you know you were working with people remotely, or have you ever been on projects where that was the case?
Well, we weren't working with too many people remotely, and once we got the dailies into the machine, we sent back the JH3 deck, and we were able to send QuickTimes to Composer, and we got a temp score to start the preview process with. I mean, it was great once we were file-based, because we could give, you know, we could send a DVD anywhere we wanted to. We could send a QuickTime as a data file on a DVD, and you know, you could put that in the mail. You know, we could have sent it over the internet or anything like that. I sent the director. She took many, you know, trips abroad, and she took a full cut on a DVD, and it was just so simple.
We talked to a lot of documentary filmmakers, and it's common that the story changes or evolves or is found in the editing room. Here you're dealing with a scripted piece. Did you still find that the story changed a little bit during the editorial? Or you found different elements that you could play up during editorial?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny because the director and I talked about this. There's there's three movies. There's the one you write, the one you shoot, and the one you cut. And we found there was sort of a style that was written into the script that they tried to achieve in the shoot, and that we changed and in some instances even reversed in the editing process. And, you know, it's really three stories. And the final one is, of course, the one that you cut.
So what's been the predominance in your background? What types of projects have you worked on mostly leading up to this?
Well, you know, I've done mostly feature films and a pretty broad spectrum of those. I've done everything from, you know, light teen comedy to science fiction, you know.
Do you have a personal favorite type of genre to work on?
You know, I like a good quirky story, something that's just not predictable, something that's not, you know, I mean, who doesn't like something that's just a little different and unexpected?
Is there one type of genre, I guess is the word I'd use again, that's harder to cut than another? Is it harder to do comedy than it is just a straight dramatic, or is it harder to work in sci-fi where there's maybe visual effects elements?
Well, I think that comedy is probably understood as the hardest because you're creating the timing for the jokes. You know, action tells you where to cut. Drama, it's, you know, how brave are you to stay on a shot? But comedy, if you don't get the timing right, you don't get the joke, and what's the point?
Well, that can be a little subjective in terms of timing. Is that, and you're in the editing room and dealing with the politics of, you know, working with the director and producer, or maybe other editors as well. Is it ever tough to get consensus on, okay, that's the right beat?
Oh, sure. And I think that, you know, when you've reviewed the material and over and over and over again, you get to the point where you're anticipating the punchline before the joke is even told. That's why I'm a big fan of the preview process for getting a perspective. I think that the audience will tell you when you've got it right or wrong.
Now, have there been projects that you've worked on where you just mentioned just being able to anticipate the punchline? Have you stepped away from a project or an edit and come back to it later and just had a totally different point of view on it?
Well, you know, I always try and let things gel. I learned long ago that if you do something and you think it's good, put it away for a day or two and then come back to it. And if it's still good, then it probably is, you know. And I think that when you approach the preview process, it's just good to kind of clear yourself of any preconceived notion and just let the audience tell you if it's funny or not. And sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow, but you can't ignore, you know, instant reaction and laughter.
Now, are you ever able to put down the mental splicer where you're watching the film during the preview or a later screening and you're still thinking about how you cut it or how you could have cut it? Does that ever go away and you can just sit back and enjoy it for what it is?
Well, I don't think I ever enjoy it for what it is. I try to separate myself from, oh, I'd like to trim that frame or come in on this shot or that shot, and I try to just absorb the reaction. And, you know, in my mind, I'm anticipating what's coming, and then I try and feel how the audience plays to it. So then when I do go back into the cutting room, I'm not just making those changes based on what I want, but based on how the interaction with the audience was.
Now, are there any other roles in the filmmaking process that you fulfilled or want to fulfill other than being an editor?
You know, at the moment, I'm very excited in the creative process of putting together the story and telling the story through editorial. I'm very happy with what I'm doing.
So it sounds like you're pretty well accomplished at this point in your career. Is there any advice you'd give to people? You know, doesn't have to be about low budget filmmaking, but just about getting into the business and persevering in a business that's pretty tough.
You know, it is tough, and it's really changing right now. I mean, things are scaling down, and then other areas are exploding. You know, just get in and find a way to get into, you know, post. There's a lot of you know, entry-level positions where you can get your foot in the door, and you just got to, you know, you just have to, I guess the best term would be, stick it out.
So looking back, I guess the last question I'd ask you is, in retrospect, are there any things that you would have done differently or might have made your career a little easier?
My career?
Well, putting aside choice of careers, is there anything you could have done differently along the way that you think would have got you where you wanted to be a little faster?
Well, you know what? I don't really know. I mean, because if there was anything like that, I would probably try and do that now. So I guess just, you know, regrets I've had a few, but, you know, again, too few to mention. So, you know, I guess I'm just doing what I think is the right thing and the next indicated action, and I'm just trying to move forward.
Well, Chris, you were right on when you said that who doesn't appreciate something quirky and different, and so we're all very much looking forward to seeing Good Dick, and hopefully you have a lot of success on this film and beyond.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today.
All right.